First Bible reading from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is a gift from God. Not by work, so that no one can boast. For you are God's handcraft, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. The second reading is from Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. And Jesus came to them and said, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you to the very end of the age.
And all the kids, oh, you're already here. And all the other kids want to come on down the front. I think we might have, what's his name? Mr. Not So Clever, is that it? Yeah? Do you think he's here again today? Sorry? That's me.
Well, hello there, children. How are we today? Not so good, I see. It's come to my attention that you probably didn't understand a single thing that I said last week. Who understood anything about me last week? You can't remember? Who went home and their parents introduced them to Get Smart? My name is Maxwell Not So Clever, Agent 86 for the secret agency group called Stable. We're not quite in control, but we're pretty close. Anyway, my job is that I am a secret agent, and I'm on a secret mission to find the secret plans to help us to understand what is going on, not only in this place, but around the world. And I'm in need of assistance of other secret spies to help me with this. Now, there's a good reason, because you may not have heard this, but this week, Agent 13 was hiding in a wheelie bin on surveillance. And he may have been cleaned up. And you may have heard this week that Agent 23... was doing surveillance, hiding in a tree. But he needed to leave. So I need to talk to you guys seriously, and I need to share a mission with one person in particular. Can I have a volunteer? Oh, thank you, sir. Do you want to come up here for a second? A round of applause for my super spy. Come stand over this side. And I need to tell you something very secret, because last week we learned about the fact that there was a guy who was talking to his brother under a tree. And, hang on, this is very top secret, so I need to get something very, very, very important. Okay, just stay there for a second.
Stay
here? Bye-bye. Yep. Just while I go away, oh, just stay there. Whatever you do, just stay there. Before I, have you ever used a portable cone of silence before? So what you need to do is stick that on your head, well done. And I'll stick this on my head. And now can you hear me? Excellent. Well, what we didn't want anybody else to hear was that Agent 13 and Agent 23 were double-crossing agents, and I'm now realizing that I put the microphone inside of this bucket. Maybe this cone of silence thing isn't so good, because I've also realized, if you take yours off, that I may have used a dirty bucket. You may want to check your head as well. No, but we learned... No, it's not Vegemite. And we learned this week, we learned last week that this guy was sitting under a tree, and then his brother or someone like that said, we've got to go see this guy. And he said, oh, who is he and where's he from? And, oh, no, nothing. He can't be any good. And then when he went and saw the guy knew everything that he said while he was sitting under the tree. Do you remember that story?
No.
We've got some work to do this week then. But this week, apparently, we're going to be hearing about someone who was a bit like a super spy, a bit like myself, and maybe like yourself. Because this guy this week, he went sneaking through the night to find truth and answers and to get some understanding about this guy who seems to know everything about everybody, whether that he has seen them, spoken to them or not. I think I'd want to hear about that. So who would like to hear about that story this week? Who's not taking me seriously because I've got something smudged on my forehead? So we're going to head upstairs real soon. We're going to learn more and more about this guy that I'm hearing about named Jesus and how he knows you and you and you and you and you and you and everybody here. And we're going to enjoy learning about that. And we're going to do something a little bit different today, but we're going to pray first, and then we're actually going to start our lesson heading outside. Let's pray first though, hey? Okay. Lord, we want to thank you for these kids. We thank you for the fact that they are so youthful, so energetic, and Lord, that they just are so trusting. And we thank you for the fact, Lord, that you say that for us, we need to come to you like a little child, to trust you no matter what, 100%, and to have the faith that knows that you love us and look after us. Lord, we pray for this lesson today as we learn more and more about you and the fact that you know us before we even realized, and that you know everything about us within what we do, what we think, and what we say. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that we will know more and more about you throughout this lesson today. Pray that you bless these kids and be with them as we head outside and then upstairs afterwards. And we pray these things in your precious name. Amen. Let's head upstairs. I'll head outside first. I'll take my cone of silence, and if you can put that away, that'd be great.
Father God, thank you for the opportunity of being here this morning with each other to worship you and to praise your name. And for now, Father, the opportunity to get around your word. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, I look around the room today and we've got some folk that live down Pelican Waters, Oroway. We've got folk that live at Little Mountain and Mountain Creek. We've got folk that, Kawana. Yep, some rarities from Kawana. That's good. Big place, Kawana, Warana, Minyama, Landsborough, Caloundra. Oh, one or two from Maroochydore. Wow, how'd you guys get in here? Okay, Maroochydore, good, good. So folk from all over the sunny coast, and isn't it an amazing place to live? Isn't it a great place to live? I wonder how many times we forget how great a place we actually live in. I was on holidays for a little while there, and one of the things people said, oh, what are you going to do on your holidays? And I'd say, I'm going to this really amazing place called the sunny coast. And they said, oh, what are you going to do there? And I said, I'm going to actually live there like I should when I'm working. And in other words, I'm going to go fishing. I'm going to go for bike rides. I'm going to go for walks along the beach. When's the last time you went for a walk along the beach? Anyone? Walk along the beach? Yeah? Yeah, you guys, you still do that in the morning? Yeah, good. Yeah, just the other day? Yep, good. Anyone else walk along the beach? Yep, good. few. Excellent. It's a great thing to do. It is really cool. Literally, like yesterday, middle of the day, I was down on patrol and it was hot as. Like I rode the push bike down. Yep, I'm still on the whole losing weight thing. And rode the push bike down and thought I'd have sweat pouring off me, but that beautiful breeze was just gorgeous. And I'm thinking, wow, I live here and I forget about this all the time. All the time. You know? At your home, do you have electricity?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Do you take that for granted?
Yes.
Yeah, I bet you do, because, you know, reading in Sydney the other day, 40,000 people lost electricity. Reading in Townsville the other day, yeah, lots of people lost electricity. Yeah, lots. You know? And you, it's when you don't have it that you go, oh, wow, I take that for granted. You know? The fridge, for example, if no electricity, the fridge doesn't work. Guess what? No electricity, the TV doesn't work. Oh, yeah. No electricity, and the laptop only works as long as the battery lasts. And then you're out, and all of a sudden you go back to, you know, doing things the old way, like playing solitaire with actual cards. You know, we take so many things for granted. And I wonder, in our walk with God, how much we take God for granted. How much we just go, yes, God, you're always with me, you never leave me, you don't forsake me, you're always there. But we continue to live as if he's not there. Like he's just an add-on. He's an app on our phone that when we get into trouble, we hit the God app. You know? Today's Bible reading is from Ephesians chapter 2. And if you have your Bibles there, then I want you to open up. Thank you very much to Eli for reading. Didn't he do a great job? Hey? That was amazing. I don't think at his age I would have been able to get up in front of a great crew like yourselves and do that job. So Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10. And we'll just go over it again one more time. For it is by grace that you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from ourselves, but it is the gift of God, not by works, so no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a great verse, isn't it? Isn't that a fantastic verse? And it's one of the ones as a leadership team last year, we sat on it for ages and ages and ages, and God kept bringing it up to us, and God kept speaking it into our life. And lo and behold, in and through all that process, a whole bunch of community stuff started to come about, and it became one of the founding stones or in what we're talking about today in the area of oikos. But let's just have a look at this passage for a little while, shall we? It is by grace that we are saved. It is the work of God that we are saved. And so it is God at work in each and every one of our lives. So the fact that any of us have a relationship with God is God at work in us. God wants to be in relationship with you. He is passionate. He desires to be in and through your life. Isn't that true? And it's so good to know that he cares. Like we looked last week at the prodigal son story and the father was just waiting for the son to come home. Just so desperate for the son to come home. This is the father that we have as our Father God. This is the father who just longs, not just for us inside the safe four walls of a church, but those out in our community, those that are lost, those that are wandering, those that are just living in one of the best places of the world and taking everything for granted and not worried a bit about God. This year, my workload at the hospital has dropped off, although this last week my workload at the hospital increased again. But it's interesting when you get a phone call where you go and it's an end-of-life situation. And you don't know the people. You just walk in cold turkey and they're in this terrible point of life where in the last few times over Christmas and the New Year, grandma is not doing well. And it's often those moments where there's the last opportunities to share. And so I get the opportunity because a lot of the time people aren't sure what's going on. They're not sure what's happening after life. They're not sure what's going to happen in the next couple of days or weeks for mum and grandma. And so I get to have this amazing chat with them. in their space, in their time, but from God's word. And I get to talk to mum and grandma. And I get to share with them the gospel about who good Jesus is and how God loves them and impact into their lives. They have that opportunity. And I have that opportunity. And it's amazing how our people are listening. But this is a God who's at work and a God who cares. A God who cares. One of the situations just recently, and just before I went on holidays, the family asked me to do the funeral for mum. So I was able to go to that next area and sharing that day with that family. I'd spent some time talking with the family, and the nurses were doing a changeover, and one of the nurses came in, and one of the first things she said to the folks sitting there, and we're all there, and she said, "Now listen, we've called for the pastor, he'll be here very soon." No, sorry, not pastor. "We've called for the priest, he'll be here very soon." And I looked at her and went, "I am the priest." And she went, oh, sorry about that. And it's amazing how incognito you can be in those places, not looking like the priest. But we had a great chat, and I went back to the nurses' station after that and had a chat to them as well. So it's important that they know a bit about this God stuff as well. See, our God is interested in your life and my life, so much so that he wants to see us saved. And it is by faith that we get to do this. And it is by God, and it's not by us. It's no amount of work that you and I can do. It's God at work in us. And in verse 10, which is one I want to sit on for a little while, verse 10, we are God's workmanship, which is the older, the version. It's the version I learnt at Bible college. We are God's workmanship. The version today, the NIV, says handiwork. Both of those, when you go into the Greek word, tie into God the Creator at work. Isn't that amazing? That right from the very beginning, and you look into Psalm 139 and you look at a whole bunch of other passages in the Bible, right from the very beginning, God knew about us. He knew about you. He knew about me. That's how intimate he wants to be with us. From the beginning of eternity to the end of eternity, he knows you and he knows me. Isn't that amazing? And there is a few of us on this planet. And there's a few of us that have lived here. And there's a few of us that have been around the ridges. Just before I go on to the rest of this verse, I just want to share with you from two other versions. And one of the ones I have in my office is a version called The Voice. And it says from verse 10, it says, "We are the product of his hand." That's good, isn't it? We are the product of God's hand. I remember as a young Christian, one of the favorite stickers we used to have is, keep watching here because God's not finished with me yet. I'm a work in progress. Amen? Who's a work in progress here? I'm a work in progress. Yeah, absolutely. And some of you are going, absolutely, you're a work in progress. We pray for you every week, Pastor. We pray for you. And that's good because we're works in progress. We're still working our way out. But isn't it good to know that the one who's working on us is God? That is good. He's the one that is at work in us and tweaking and bringing about the changes. I tell you, it's so good to know that God is the one at work and not me. If you're the one that's seen some of my handiwork at home, it's often called shoddy work. Anyone do manual arts at school when you're... Yep, you did manual arts. Randall, you did manual arts. Okay, cool. Bruce?
I hated it.
You hated it. Man.
I'm so surprised.
I loved manual arts. I wasn't any good at it, but I loved it. I loved the woodwork element. I loved doing dovetails and all those other things, which I can't remember anymore. But all the different joints, and you'd use your saw, your tenon saw, and your chisel, and you'd get it all out, and then you'd put it together as a joint, and then you'd take it out. And old man Bailey was our man arts teacher, and he was just an amazing guy, big bloke. He used to show us how sharp the plane's blade was by shaving his arm with it. But he was a big man. But one of his favourite sayings was, "All right, Johnson, let's have a look at this dovetail of yours. What are you making, son? A hotel for cockroaches? Look at the gap in there." And I always had a gap in my handiwork. And whenever I'd get something, they'd go, "All right, son, that's a good job. Now you can take that table home and give it to your mum. Just don't let her put anything on it, son. It's not that good." My handiwork was never any that good. Even the other day on my day off, I had a bulb go, and I'm putting the bulb in it, and I'm going, I wonder if that'll work. Oh, look at that. Well, look how good I am. I'm achieved to put the bulb in. But God is the one at work in us. It is his handiwork. And he goes on and says, heaven's poetry etched on lives created and anointed in Jesus. Isn't that nice? Heaven's poetry etched into our lives, created in the anointed Jesus to do the works that God had preordained. Isn't that beautiful? Now, I love my poetry. I love to sit down and reflect. If I have a good day, I like to reflect with a good poem. If I have a bad day, I reflect a sad poem. But you know what? When I write the poetry, it's I that write the poetry. My pen doesn't argue with me. My pen doesn't go, no, not that word. No, don't write that. I'm the one that says it. And my book, when I write in my book doesn't stay closed and say, no, no poetry today. You're not allowed to write. I'll go, I'm opening the book. I'm the one writing the poetry. I am going to write the poetry. If God is the one at writing the poetry on our lives, who are we to say, no, God, don't do that? If he's the one writing it, if he's the one etching it into our lives with the anointing of Jesus on our lives, who are we to say, no, don't do that, Jesus? The poetry run might be a different one for you. Some of you may have heard the clay and the potter. Who's the potter? God. Who's the clay? You and me. And the clay doesn't get to say, I want to be a vase. I want to be a cup. I want to be an ashtray. You know, it doesn't get to say that. The potter gets to say what he wants to do with the clay. And another version here is with this same passage, verse 10, from the Message. It says this, saving us was all his idea. It's all his work. All we do is need to trust him enough to let him do it. It's God's gift from start to finish. We don't play the major role. If we did, we'd probably go around bragging that we'd done all the whole work. No, we neither make nor save ourselves. God does both the making and the saving, and he creates each of us by Jesus Christ to join him in the work that he does. The good work he has gotten ready for us to do, work that we had better get on and do. I like that version as well. It's very cool. The reality of this passage is that God is the worker. He's the one working in you and in me, and he's the one that giving us the gifts and the talents and the abilities to bring about the transformation by the work of his anointing in and through our lives. But it is in and through Christ Jesus that we get to do this. And because it's in and through Christ Jesus, we have four works to do. Now, we don't do the works to get saved. We do the works because we're saved. Does that make sense? It's not about salvation of works in any way, shape or form. This is, I know who I am. I am in God. He's working in me. He's tweaking left, right and center. And he's gifting me and he's talented me to do what he's called me to do. And in fact, it's even more than that. He's talented me and gifted me to do the works that he's prepared for me to do in advance. Prepared by God. The King James Version in the to-do bit is to walk with God. Isn't that cool? And as I delved into that, it's because is it walk, Lord, or is it to do? And as you go into the Greek word, it actually talks to walk in. And so when you have a job to do, it's walking with God to make it happen. Isn't that cool? That we don't do things in our own strength or own ability. We walk with God to make these things happen. Each day, walking with God, hand in hand, to do. Now, wonder what those things are. I wonder what it is. Is it to be a pastor? Is it to be a missionary? What is it to do? You've heard the sermons of what have you got in your hand, using Moses' illustration with the staff. Whatever you've got in your hand, go about it. I told you yesterday I was down the beach hanging out as a chaplain and giving out chubba chubs to people on team and meeting a few of the new bronzies and doing their work. And while we're at the beach, there's a little shori. A shori at Kwana. Now, there's a surprise, isn't it? There was a shori, which is a little bit of a dumper of a wave. And it sometimes can rise up very quickly and catch you by surprise. Now, there was an older gentleman, and I say an older gentleman because his son was my age. So it's fair enough that he's an older gentleman. All right? And he was there, and he was struggling at the shore. He was getting knocked over left, right, and centre. And he'd got so tired of being knocked over left, right, and centre that he just sat there as the wave kept hitting him in the hips, and he just sat there and relaxed. And his grandsons or great-grandsons were running around and having a ball, and he was just having fun. Now, I was chatting away. We were no farther than this from Brendan, because we're good lifesavers. We're down at the beach ready for action, because you never know when something's going to happen and you need to do what you need to do. Isn't that right, Callum? Helen? Yep, you got to be ready. All right. So where we're waiting by the beach. This older gentleman, who'd been sitting there for some time, decides it's time to get up. And he gets up. Now, some of you won't understand this. But as you get older, getting up can become a challenge. If I was to sit on the floor, we'd lose 10 minutes of the sermon while I got back to my feet. It's a little bit of a challenge to get back up. And this guy found it really hard to get back up. And when he got back up, he got hit with a head spin. And he started going as if a sniper down the beach had hit him. And he's wobbling backwards and forwards. And when he's wobbling backwards and forwards, and remember, he's older than me, I'm thinking, wow, he's going to fall into this shori. So what do I do at that stage? Do I go, Lord God Almighty, can you please guide me in the things that you would have me do today? Do I go to a prayer meeting to seek God? Or do I see right in front of me this older gentleman that if I don't reach forward and lend him a hand, is going to go kaboosh and something worse could happen to him? And of course, I am led by God to reach out and go and grab him. And it's really good at the same time, because God spoke to the other people in the surf life-saving shirts and they all went to action as well. One guy had a chair very quickly. So as I grabbed one arm, another lady ran around. She was obviously faster than me. She went on the other side and she got that side and we settled him into the chair. Now, a team of three lifesavers, two in uniform, one handing out chubba-chubs, were able to bring about something that was good for that gentleman. And you think God went, yeah, I like it. I think he did. Because there was something good happening there. Sometimes we can over-spiritualize it, can't we? We think it has to be this to make a difference for God's kingdom. And it doesn't. It certainly has to be this, but it can be that as well. Kwana Life has had a history for many, many years of being a church that gets about and does different things. Peter Thompson, when he first moved here as the very first pastor, did a lot of work into our community, trying to start a church to get things going. John Tanner, with the help and the support of the Pine students, came on board and tried to get things up and going again. And back in 2003, the end of 2003, Brian Willisdorf, and then early 2004, myself and Dean Thomas came into Kwana Life and started up this new work that we have called Kwana Life. We started home groups for people to belong to. We started connect groups. We've had back in the day She Walks. Is there anyone back from remembering the She Walks days? No? Okay. We used to get set times on a Saturday morning when the ladies would get together and they would go for a walk down around the headlands down at Shelley Beach and Moffat and through to Kings. And at the end of their walk, which was a very good walk, they would stop and have a beautiful breakfast and coffee. So the benefits of the walk probably disappeared. But anyway, it was called She Walks. I always put forward one of the best suggestions I thought was for our umbrella was the She Talks group, but apparently that was not appropriate. So, but the She Walks group was a very good group, and people got involved, some from the community and some from our church, because let's face it, some people just like to get up and go for a walk in the morning. And what a great opportunity when you go for those walks to talk. When I go to Fat Boys, the two options are to go for a swim and the other option is to go for a walk. And so I go for a walk with these guys, and we always get to talk. And I am blown away at how many times these guys say, "Hey, Donnie, so what have you been up to this week?" And I get to share with them what I'm doing, because they asked and I answered the question. So there's different connect groups. We had a motorbike group. We've had four-wheel driving groups that people belong to. We've done a whole bunch of different things to try and get people to connect so that we can do life with them, so we can walk with them and God. At the moment, we have groups called Mainly Music. And I'm going to stop right there for Mainly Music, because we start tomorrow. So if you're on the Mainly Music team at this moment, can I get you to stand up? Sorry, Brenda, I know you don't like to speak, but can you stand up, please? Other Mainly Music team, thank you, thank you. Other Mainly Music folk, thank you. All right, excellent. So this is our Mainly Music team. Stay standing, please. Too slow. All right. We're going to pray, because it starts tomorrow, and it's a smaller team than last year. We've had a couple of people move on, and that's how things happen. Seasons come and go. Judy is going to try and have a go at leading every now and then for me when I'm not available, so that's really good. The rest of the time, I'm going to be the one up front leading all the songs and the singing for the kids. So it's just as well they're 0 to 5 and don't understand anything about music, because they've got me singing. So, but if you are feeling led by God or called by God to come and help us in that space, we'd really love you to join the team, and we'll even get a beautiful blue shirt. Hey, Brenda, they're good polo shirts. They're excellent, and you'll be part of a really, really good team. And these are really good people, and they've got a good heart. And we're very excited this year, because Mainly Music is a place that comes into this space, and we get to walk with them, and we get to share God with them. And I'm really excited about what God's going to do this year. P&O is a part of that, Parents Night Out. So let's just pray, shall we? Father God, thank you for Mainly Music. Thank you for the incredible people that are on this team. Thank you, Father, for the people that have been on this team for such a long time and committed and driven to be a part of it. Thank you that they've got the vision. And this year, Lord, every year we get excited, but this year there's something new. There's something really exciting happening in Mainly Music. So, Father, I pray that for tomorrow you will just empower us and equip us, Lord God, to get to meet the folks for the very first time this year. Get to remember the kids' names and get to have a great time in the program, and then sit and have a fantastic morning tea as the kids play. So, Father, help us, because we are all the Mainly Music mums coming, they're all part of your workmanship as well, Lord God, and you are working in their lives. And I pray, Lord, as you work in their lives and our lives, that we connect and we can grow together in God and in Jesus. We pray this in your name. And everyone said, amen. Thanks, Mainly Music team. God bless you, and have a great day tomorrow morning. We have our KKs, our Kiwanis Teenagers, which are meeting again this Thursday for the first time. We have our coffee and chat, and boy, it was a great group up there the other day. I think it was about 18 or 20. You got to meet Jody, the new owner at Urban Espresso. We have our coffee chaplains who continue to go into the hospital. We have our RI teams that are going back, getting ready to go in. We've got a number of schools. I think there's 3 schools that we cover as a church in the area of RI. We've got our craft group, which met last Thursday. We've got LASS for the ladies that are wanting to meet together. We have K2 that you've heard about this Wednesday night, 6 o'clock here in the greenhouse, doing church in a different way, in a different place, in a different time, to enable you to engage around the family meal as it is, and then to sit and chat and to talk about walking with God and equipping that. We have, as I've already mentioned, the Kiwanis Waters Surf Club, where we go in as a chaplain and I do patrols there as well. We've got the carols team that goes in there and has done a fantastic work. We've done weddings, and just recently I did my first infant dedication in the surf club. And unfortunately we've done funerals. The biggest funeral I've ever done was at that surf club. But it's again ways of us being involved. It's ways of us doing the work that God has called us to do. In 2018, we had some amazing doors open for us to be about and out. And this year, I believe, with more prayer and more intentionality, we will see those doors open even more amazing and more equipping into our community. About 6 months ago, we started off on this journey with the Oikos Project. You've got the Oikos pigs. Now, I find it interesting that this year is the year of the pig. Is God funny or what? So the pigs are out there for the money boxes, the pig in there, all the places I go, the year of the pig, the year of the pig. And we're doing Oikos and trying to get that up and going. So I think God is in and through this. Oikos is about our neighbourhood, where we are placed. Matthew 28:18-20 very loudly and clearly calls each and every one of us to go about the Great Commission. The Oikos Project is Kiwanis Life carrying out the Great Commission to the Oceanside Precinct. Now, I believe 100% that God places us, each and every one of us, in certain places for a certain time and season to do things. And at the moment, we are placed in this building as a church, and we have this amazing work stuff all around us. All around us. And I believe God's placed us here in this period and time for us to minister into that. But in parallel with that also, God has placed you where you are, in your family, in your neighbourhood, in your community, in your workplace, in your school, in your university, whatever you're doing, wherever you are, God has you there for a reason and for a purpose, because in before time he organised some work for you to do in that place. You believe that? And you're the one that can carry it out. You're the hands and the feet that God can use. You're the mouthpiece that God can use into that situation. Some of you might be sitting there, where did they get the word oikos from? What did the leadership team do? And what sort of cookies were they eating when they came up with that word about oikos? Well, the word oikos is a Greek word, and it simply means house. If you want to just simply use it, it means house. But it obviously, being a Greek word, doesn't just mean house, because we know in Acts chapter 16, 31, that in that story, which I won't go into such detail because we're going to open that up more as we go through this February, that house got saved. Now, did the house get saved? Did the bricks and the mortar and the roof get saved? No. It meant the household got saved. The household. So oikos means house, household, family, community, and each and every one of us have that, don't we? You have your own house. You have your own household. You have your own family. You have your own community. So we have an oikos as Kiwanis Life Baptist Church, but you have an oikos as well. You know what? God has an oikos. Does that excite you? God has an oikos. God has a family. God has a community. That's exciting. We all have an oikos, and we're a part of a mandate that God has given us in and through this place. How do you get involved? What can we do? Well, we've got the pigs, and they're doing a great job sitting there. But the idea is for you to take them home and fill them up with your change. I don't know about you, but the change thing these days annoys me, because it just weighs my pants down. Too much change in the wallet, too many plastic cards. I need to cull the wallet as well as everything else in my life. But the change into there is a helpful thing. And we've also seen a couple of families already grab the little pigs and a way of teaching their children about money and family and that sort of thing. So it's a good opportunity. Where to from here? Well, we started up a number of groups at the end of last year, and a number of those groups have gotten together. Unfortunately, two of the groups that I'm overseeing, we haven't met yet, so my apologies to those two groups. But just to go over those groups with you again, we have the prayer group and the hospital group. They're my two groups. We will be starting this year. We're getting together very soon, and we'll get some prayer things put in place. The month of March, we'll be doing a whole series on prayer, because it's very, very important, I believe, for us to be about prayer and about God's work, because we need to be hearing what God is saying to us as a church in the area of our oikos, but also individually about our oikos. The hospital group, there's a few interesting things happening in the hospital, so watch this space and I'll get that team together. We've got a planning group, which is going to plan and organise some of our outreaches down into the parks and the places down there. We've got a community engagement group, which will be working through that practically. And we've got a finance group, which again the oikos pigs come involved in. So oikos is up off the ground, and we're just reiterating it for you as part of our vision this year. But I just wanted to restate to you that part of that vision comes out of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10, and Matthew 28, where we've got a great commission given to us, each and every one of us, to be about making disciples into our community, teaching them all about the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and seeing them become disciples and impacting their community. We are God's workmanship. You are God's workmanship. You are amazing, because God is at work in and through your life. Don't let the enemy come and say you're not, you can't do this. Don't let the enemy come and say this is not for you. Don't let the enemy say, no, that's just for Donnie and those more equipped ones. No, this is for each and every one of us, because the same God that works in me is the same God who wants to work in you. It's the same God. And what he can do in me, he can do in you. What he can do in Brian Wilsdorf, he can do in you. What he can do through John Tanner and Dean Thomas, all those other men and the women that were there as well. What God has done before, he can do again, because he's the same yesterday, today and forever. God loves you and he's working in and through your life. And he wants to be about doing the things he's planned. He loves this community. His heart breaks at where it's at. And he wants to give us opportunity to bring about that transformational change in our neighbourhood, our community. Stop for a moment and think of your neighbours coming to know Jesus. How cool is that? I already shared with someone very first thing this morning. They had an opportunity this week to talk about something that was very personal for them, but opened up something to share about Jesus and prayer with one of their neighbours. We all have an oikos. God has a plan and a purpose in each of our lives. I'm excited to hear the stories that will come back as we get about the Father's work. Let's pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you for the gifts and the talents that you've given each and every one of us. Father, I pray and I stand right now against the enemy's lies, against his strategies to disable, to stop us in our tracks, to make us think we're worthless. Father, you are at work in our lives. And where there are rough edges, you want to do some work. Father, where there are doubts, you want to bring faith. Father, where there is hurt and pain, you want to bring your love. Father, you want to bring your faith. You want to step us out in hope. And Father, I pray, Lord God, that we would know your joy as we go out of this place to minister into this community, to minister into our neighborhood, to minister into our family, to let you, by the power of your Holy Spirit and the anointing of Jesus, work in and through our lives. Father, we are your handiwork. Use us for the extension of your kingdom in this place. Amen.